Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, time for another edition of the Toy Department. It's good to be with you, Matt Kolsky. How are you today?
Well, it's good to be with you, Derek Madden.
Do you mind if I let the people in on a little bit of a behind-the-scenes conversation that we were having yesterday?
Probably not.
We were talking just about this podcast, going back and listening to other episodes of this podcast. And it turns out we like this podcast.
We do, yeah.
I mean, we're probably biased and all, but
I don't know, because I usually have a pretty low opinion of myself.
So here's the thing, we're busy people. We barely have enough time to do this every week. Finding the time to do this every week is a challenge, and what we really don't have time to do is do all the appropriate things to market this podcast and get people to listen to it. So I just wanted to start off by saying, if you enjoy this podcast, I don't know, half as much as we do, please tell somebody about it.
Yeah, tell a friend.
Yeah.
Be our street team.
Yeah. Do some of the work for us. We'll keep making them. Don't get us wrong. We'll keep finding the time. But we think more people ought to hear it, and we're not going to do any of that heavy lifting. So, all right. With that said, when last we spoke, I was headed out on the road. We talked about maybe heading out on the road again. I'm going to do that. I'm coming out to San Francisco tomorrow.
Aw, hell.
For Outside Lands. I have become the alt-rock version of a jam band fan.
Yeah, I thought I was the itinerant music traveler.
And I'm just following Radiohead and LCD Sound System around the country.
So I have a problem, actually. Can we talk about my Outside Lands problem?
Yeah.
I am going.
Hit me. All right.
As it turns out.
Are we doing a live podcast on site at Outside Lands?
I think we've got to try to bump into each other at Radiohead and get a good 5 minutes of probably slightly inebriated and noise-filled podcasting.
All right.
I believe in our ability to do that.
I feel like wasted potting is a new frontier for us.
Man, I got to tell you, I think I'd do a great wasted pod, but that's a whole other bag of worms. I think I do.
I kind of agree. I think you would carry me on a wasted pod show. I think I would be terrible.
It would be a nice change. Yeah. Okay. So schedule is what I need to look at.
Okay.
Here's my Outside Lands problem.
All right.
It's twofold. And this is my problem with friggin' festivals in general. Are you only going Saturday to Radiohead?
No, I'm going Friday and Saturday.
Okay, so Friday night. All right, because you're following LCD Sound System and Radiohead.
Correct.
Okay. I like LCD Sound System. I would very much like to see them live. You know who else I really like? Hiatus Coyote. And you know who else I'd kind of enjoy seeing? J. Cole. Guess what the problem is? All three of those are at the same damn time. How am I supposed to decide? Like, I mean, I got to see LCD Sound System, I guess.
Yeah, no, that is not a decision.
Hiatus Coyote is really a good show. And
I'm sure it is. It's kind of like, but that's kind of like saying, like, I really like lobster with truffle butter, and I also like Oreos and hot dogs. What should I do? Like, no slight to Oreos and hot dogs. Those are great. But, I mean, come on.
No, you're right. You're right. I have to go to LCD Sound System, but that gets to me.
You got to
and Radiohead. Here's another one.
See, I don't
Saturday.
I don't think this is a problem with festivals. I think this is
a problem.
You have to go in. You have to go into a festival saying, "I'm not going to see everything." It's not set up for you to see everything.
It should be.
So, if it were to be set up that way. So it was linear, where there was literally one option for you to watch at a time. You would sit through so much crap that would, drive you insane. It's set up for options.
I want the crap to go down at the same time as the stuff that I like, right. So that I can miss the crap. Here's the bigger one for me, actually. Because okay. You're right. I have never seen LCD Sound System, so I have to go
you,
see them.
Yeah, you just do.
I have seen Hiatus Coyote, and I care less about J. Cole. But Saturday's the real issue for me. Because Anderson .Paak is one of my favorite new artists. I think he's a killer, and I think he would be fascinating to see live. I don't know what that live show will look like at all. He's got a band called the Free Nationals with him that interests me, and I'm just excited to see the whole business. And it starts at 7:55. Okay. And Radiohead, who I've seen three or four times and love, also starts at 7:55.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to do. Because missing any of the Radiohead show, on one hand, seems insane to me. But also, the opportunity to see a new artist that I love and have never seen, missing that also seems insane to me.
All right. Well, all right. So, look, there's a couple things. First of all, we talked a little bit about it, but where are you at on Moonshaped Pool right now?
Oh, I actually have listened to it again in the last few days, and man, I love it.
All right. Well, okay, that doesn't help.
No. Okay. It doesn't help.
I was going to say, they're going to play a few songs from that record right out of the box. So if you're not into it, then you go see the first couple minutes of Anderson .Paak.
I think it comes down to this.
Here's
the other problem, though, Derek.
Because you
if
want
to see the first few minutes of Anderson .Paak,
you're going to have terrible position for Radiohead.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's Anderson .Paak. I'm not super familiar with this gentleman. Is he coming around again? I'm going to guess he's going to play San Francisco three or four times this year, right?
He can't come around again for a while.
Why not?
They got the rules.
Well, the rules are a little less on the backside, but he'll be back in town, I'm guessing, on this album would be my guess, right?
Let's see. I haven't checked that.
It's not going to be up yet. It won't be announced in the next show, but he'll be back. Whereas,
I mean, I hope he's like an alt R&B guy. It's not like he's.
I'm just saying Radiohead is like, they're going to show up in your town most likely once every couple of years.
Right. You're right.
Kind of your answer there. The other thing I would say is you do want to get some position at a show of this size.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the other twist on that. From 6 o'clock to 7:55, there's really nothing I care about. So my plan, barring Anderson .Paak, my plan is to sit to get good seats for Air, who I couldn't care less about, so I can stay there for Radiohead. Yeah.
Shots fired at Halsey.
Sufjan. Fine. I just don't care. Sufjan, I actually like. I'm just not compelled to see him live.
Sufjan, whose first couple records are amazing, is kind of grown insufferable, in my opinion.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
I don't pay close attention, but I liked Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois is great. Illinois is great.
And I think he's good. I just don't. If it's a choice between Sufjan Stevens and better seats for Radiohead,
yeah,
I choose better seats for Radiohead.
Not a choice. Yeah. I mean, you watch Air, you got some time to, like, grab yourself a couple drinks and do all that.
So I'm thinking if I can, I will load up with some buddies for Air and then maybe run away from them for 15 minutes just to see the first couple tracks of the Anderson .Paak show and try to climb up to them again.
Ooh,
but,
man, that,
you know, that may depend on once we're packed in there how bad it is. And I have a feeling it's going to be bad and I won't want to leave.
So I will say at Lala, I enjoyed my LCD experience more than the Radiohead experience.
No kidding.
Yeah. But a lot of that has to do with – I didn't see LCD at Lollapalooza. I saw them at the Metro, which is, I don't know, like 1,100 people-ish, right? And you're from Chicago.
Yeah, it's very small.
Very small. And so, that was amazing. And with Radiohead, I started the show up close, but, I couldn't see. I'm short. I could hear pretty good. I couldn't see. And then, I had some industry friends who had, a cabana area.
VIP Derek.
So I got into the cabana area, and I could see great, which was awesome.
I had some industry friends.
But I was a little further away. And I couldn't hear as well. And you know what I mean? Like, that really does, I think, have an impact on that experience. Because I went back, they streamed the Radiohead set the day after. So I was home and I watched the Radiohead set and the LCD set back to back, you know, online, and found them to be much more comparable, you know, in that experience. So I do think where you are at a show that big really does have an impact. So, you know, get the prime position.
In the past, I have complained about the fact at Outside Lands that the stages bleed a little bit. And so the further you are from Radiohead, the better chance you're going to get some weird Zed noises in your head.
All the Zed noises in your head are weird.
I don't even know what Zed is, but I'm sure it doesn't go
Zed
well.
Zed is a DJ.
Well, simultaneously with Radiohead, I'm guessing he doesn't sound great.
He's got a big song with the girl from Paramore. That'll give you an idea where you're at there.
You know where I'm at? I kind of love her. It's like Paramore doesn't necessarily move me one way or another, but that song, that the single "Ain't It Fun" that they put out last year,
that was your jam, huh?
I liked it, and I'm kind of enthralled by her.
There is a certain charm. I will agree with that. There is a certain charm about Hayley Williams.
Hayley, yes, yeah. Orange hair, gotta love it.
So I'm really looking forward to Outside Lands. I've done almost all of these major festivals in all the different cities, and I actually think it's the best experience that I've encountered so far.
Yeah, I've been to Lolla and Outside Lands. I've and Coachella. I think probably I would agree with that. I've not been to Bonnaroo, but I have no desire to go to Bonnaroo.
Really? So. God, I thought Bonnaroo would be tailor made for you.
No, man. See, I think we sort of touched on this in the Fish conversation. I don't care. In like, generally, jam bands I think are not great, and more to the point, I'm not a big camper, and I don't like living in dust and mud for days on end.
Yeah, not a big camper is an understatement for me. That's the problem, definitely the problem for me with Bonnaroo. But the plus side of that is you get music till 4 in the morning. You know what I mean? Like
That part I like.
There's stuff going on at Bonnaroo.
But you know what? I can't do music till 4 in the morning and then sleep in a tent till noon. I got to get a bed. I got to go to a bed.
You know what you're leaving out of that equation of sleeping in a tent or even a camper, which is what we had in this.
Hot sun.
Yeah, it's 85 and humid.
I'm not leaving that out. That's part of my in that mix. To sleep till noon.
And when you are hungover at 9:30 in the morning and it's 92 degrees and wet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And you have to throw up in a porta potty. That's pretty much one of my worst moments in life.
Yeah, I have not vomited in years, and that's a point of pride. Not because I think I'm so good at not getting sick, but because vomiting is like the worst thing in the world in my book.
I'll tell you a true and embarrassing story. I vomited at a Radiohead show at Coachella one year.
Yeah. Well, I will say one of the last times I vomited was at a camping festival because you stay up too late drinking, and then all of a sudden at like 9:30, as you said, you find yourself in a sauna of a tent, and like all of the alcohol is leaking out your pores and just threatening your sanity and good health, and you crawl out the front of the tent and vomit everywhere. I've experienced that.
So the cool thing about it though was we were like we were really up close. We had worked ourselves into prime position. It was super crowded.
Yeah,
I felt myself getting sick, and I let it go. Mm. And the whole area around me cleared out. All of a sudden, I had room and space, and I could see.
Dancing time.
And then my friends were like, "You should probably go sit off
you
to the side."
Get out of here.
Yeah, so we went to the side, and then we wound up standing with Alexander Skarsgård. Who was
of True Blood fame?
Yeah, and now Tarzan, right? He's Tarzan.
Yeah, he's Tarzan.
Yeah,
that can't go well.
So it was I'm sure that's terrible, but it was a fun day. It's a fun day out at the Coachellas. You know what? I'm looking at the schedule. We're now deep diving in Outside Lands.
Yeah, we probably got to pull out. But what is it?
I'm looking at the schedule and kind of during your break time, there's a thing going on in the Gastro Magic Tent.
It's not the Teaches of Peaches, then.
Okay. It's not the Teaches of Peaches. This is Skew It on the Barbecue with John Shook and Vinny Dotello, who are from they do a couple of restaurants in L.A. They're a huge animal. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
The guy from State Bird Provision, which is like maybe the hottest restaurant in San Francisco. Yeah. And
Big Boy?
And Big Boy. That sounds amazing.
What is that? Is that food?
Skew It on the Barbecue. I'm assuming, yeah, like they're doing cooking demos. There's actually like great food things happening in this gastro magic thing all weekend.
But do
like,
I get to eat it?
I don't know. But doesn't it seem like it's worth it to go show up and find out? It's done at 7:30, and then you can roll over to Radiohead 20 minutes early.
Yeah, I'm not sure 20 minutes gets me where I need to be for Radiohead, but it's definitely something to consider. Also, I do have plans to hit the comedy tent early in the day on Saturday. You know, if anyone's out there trying to find me, my schedule will absolutely include – I got a big day scheduled on Saturday involving Fantastic Negrito in the early afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Is that an oh my god just for getting there that early?
Yes, I have two rules. We already discussed one, which
don't
is you're not gonna see everything. No, oh, vomiting in the crowd works out sometimes. it's not a hard and fast one. And the other is don't get there early.
Oh no, yeah, I'm with you, but I have a particular affinity for Fantastic Negrito, and I don't know if you know the story from last year.
I don't. But he was the guy that like said something and got kicked out or whatever.
One of his like roadies. There was like some confusion with one of his roadies and he's a local Oakland guy with this incredible story of perseverance, and he's awesome to watch. And they basically somewhat inappropriately kicked him out last year. And so
it seemed appropriate at the time. It's I don't know. What was the deal? I forget. What did he do?
He didn't do anything, as I remember.
Or the roadie. But what did the roadie do? It was something like that. Was like, oh boy.
I don't think it was. I think it turned out to be something. That...
Apologies to anyone who's like a Minnesota listener to this podcast who was completely lost by all of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna Google this while we talk. All right. Should we move on to television?
Yes.
Yes. I'll let you pick where we want to go first on that board because we got a few things.
Yeah, no, let's do television. I'm good with television.
Yeah, but I mean, where and what television show would you like to discuss?
Let's start with Vice Principals. I don't think we've talked about that yet, have we?
No.
That was our homework, I think, from last week.
I did the homework.
Me too.
All right, some dude got busted by the police with the Fantastic Negrito for illegally selling VIP passes. That's what it was.
Yeah, but it was like it turned out to be like one of his roadies tried to like I don't know. It turned out to be not that big of a deal.
Well, clearly it wasn't that big of a deal if they invited him back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like after the aftermath of it was like, oops, we probably should not have done that. And it was too late to fix it. Anyway.
All right, so Vice Principals.
I want to see the guy. But my whole point of that, which now that we'll wrap before Vice Principals, is I am definitely going to go see Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher in the comedy tent at 2 o'clock. So find me.
All right. It's good stuff in the comedy tent as I'm looking at it.
Really good stuff.
I won't be there.
I'm a huge Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher fan. And they're married.
Although, I'll tell you, I did go to the comedy tent when I was at Bonnaroo. And this will give you an idea of... how long ago my Bonnaroo excursion was. But my buddy and I went to see this Louis C.K. guy that people were really talking about, and I'm really, really glad I did.
Sorry, who?
Louis C.K.?
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah.
Don't know who that is.
we'll look him up.
All right.
He might do some
stuff.
He
can't
be
that big, but okay.
you know, I actually did, and I don't know why I didn't think to discuss this, but I saw Louis C.K. last night, or two nights ago, Tuesday night.
Yeah, I knew that, actually.
And it was tremendous. He's really at the top of his game right now.
He's incredible in general. Why is he not awesome?
His delivery is so just natural and flawless. It's and he's saying these things that are shocking, but not... just because they're shocking, like there's truth in all of it. And it's all happening at like such a rat-a-tat pace that you're laughing the entire time. And like by the end of it, it's hard to remember the jokes because there have been so many. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really – it's something. It's honestly, it was different from any other comedian that I'd seen like in a really great way. You know, if you can get tickets to those tour, that tour, which is kind of crazy, I'd really recommend doing it. Plus, he's wearing suits now, which I thought was funny.
I missed it. He was here already, unfortunately. Yeah, but I've seen him a couple times, and he is incredible.
All right, so vice principals. Here's my thing. My overall take on this is that I was really excited for this. I think we even talked about it at a couple points. And after watching it, now I just kind of wonder why I was really excited for it. Does that make sense? I didn't hate it. Like, I'm enjoying it. I actually think it's improving a little bit, but I'm like, all right, Danny McBride is doing that character he does.
Yes.
And
you don't like it, though? Because for me, the fact that it's that character he does doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just ready for, like, one more note from him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that I dislike that guy, and like Kenny Powers was great, and you know, I watched that guy be that guy in other things.
I think the difference between the Kenny Powers and this vice principal character, Mr. Gamby, is a combination of obviously. Kenny Powers had the fame and the previous fame and fortune. And also, I think there's just – although maybe not because Kenny Powers had this too. But there's this little twinge of heart in this character that just – it's still funny. I guess that's really what it comes down to.
I'm not saying like, it's not funny.
He's so funny. And I also think Walt Goggins is just perfect.
It's not enough Walt Goggins.
No,
I feel like.
I agree, but don't you think part of that is this last episode he really wasn't in it very much?
Yeah,
I think
maybe there's
some
of that.
The first two episodes, there was a lot of Walt Goggins, and God, he's tremendous.
The scene when they go to his house, and he's like fighting with his Korean mother-in-law.
Yeah.
That's great. That was great. I would want some more of that, because that's the movie I haven't seen yet. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and then there's the first scene where he's just screaming at his mother-in-law, and then the second scene where they actually go inside, and, like, you meet his wife, and, like, the whole business is just so weird, and I think he's so funny. And, you know, there have already – look, you're right. There's not much to it beyond what we already know from Danny McBride, but I'm not done laughing at that guy.
That's good. You know, honestly, I have found myself watching Ballers before I watch this, and I feel like that kind of says it all, at least for me, in terms of my level of excitement. Now, that order probably changed a little bit after these last couple of episodes, but it really took me a while to kind of work up wanting to go to episode 2 and 3. If I'm watching Ballers first, because nothing's happening on Ballers. Like,
no. Well, it really has become Entourage.
It's somehow less weighty than Entourage. That's
one of
those,
I don't think that's
true. The achievement of it. Where
I don't
you're
know
like,
if that's true.
I didn't know they could make – there are like literally no stakes to this. I mean, I guess there are stakes, but you know everything's going to zero out on that show, on Ballers. You know what I mean? We don't need a deep dive into the flaws of Ballers because I feel like it's not even trying.
You're right. It's a very surface thing. Maybe it's just the fact that it's in the sports world.
Yeah. I think that's just what it is. It's like that show, I enjoy spending time in that world. It's fun to watch people pretend to be athletes and like hang out in Miami and there's hot chicks and Rob Corddry makes jokes every now and again.
And Rob Corddry's really funny.
Yeah. It's watchable. Yeah. It's not good, but it's watchable.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a thing that I've been thinking about a lot. You know, we're now in this time. It's the summertime, right? And I know that things have gotten better on the content front now in summer. Obviously, there's a lot more going on. But it's still kind of the lightest time of the year. And it's also the time of year where we probably have the most kind of to do away from the television, right? And sure. I just feel like there's so many things happening right now. And so many things that have already happened that I've missed where I thought, oh, I can, you know, I can catch up in summer when there aren't that many original shows on. I feel like, and maybe for the first time, I feel sort of a victim of peak TV. You know what I mean? Just this notion that there's so much content.
Yeah.
And so like a show like Stranger Things that everybody is raving about and that didn't sound just, you know, on the elevator pitch to me to be a show that I'd be interested in. It's been hard for me to say, I'm going to dedicate 10 hours to just find the 10 hours to dedicate to sit down and plow through this show. You know what I mean?
I hear you, and I'm right with you on almost everything you said. I think the thing that you said that jumped out to me the most, actually, is just the idea that, like, because I definitely have said this to myself over the past couple years, but specifically the past few months, that I get there's stuff to catch up on. You know, whether it's your eternal homework assignment to me of watching The Americans or just, you know, catching up on a season of Veep. Like, there are things that I said at the time, this doesn't fit in my fall and spring schedule because there's just too much going on. I will get to this. I have not finished Orange is the New Black, which is a show I really enjoy.
I'm going to make that your homework because I finished that and I'd love to talk about it.
I have a friend in the show. My friend is on that show and I would want to watch it just to support her even if I didn't already want to watch it.
That's another problem of this era, right, is that nobody's finishing stuff at the same time. And so it's like I finished Orange is the New Black, I don't know, a month ago.
Completely binge that. Well, then I can tell you, and I don't think this is like a mid-season spoiler, my friend Julie is the shower in Orange is the New Black. All right.
I think you did mention that at some point.
I probably did. I like to mention her. She also has a web series that she kickstarted called Mental that should come out sometime in the next year that you should watch out for. But no, I will say, on top of all that, because I do totally agree with you, that you should watch one episode of Stranger Things, because as much as I was more excited about Vice Principals and The Night Of, I think Stranger Things is the best new show I've watched, certainly this season.
I completely recognize that it's going to be kind of like Game of Thrones. Where, you know, we've talked about this in Game of Thrones that I don't like the forest. You know what I mean? Like wizards and magic and dragons and all that stuff. Not only doesn't interest me, disinterest me, right? So I didn't watch Game of Thrones. I don't know, for maybe a year and a half, 2 years, and I was like kind of just tired of hearing about it. And then once I did, I was all the way in. And I have a feeling this will be the same way with the, you know, I don't have an aversion to, you know, Spielberg-esque E.T., you know, kind of 80s movies. I'm just not excited to watch that. That's
really?
That's the difference. Yeah. Like the things that people have said, like, oh, it's this thing and it's like, you know, the old Amblin Entertainment, like, I'm like, yeah, not interested. Now,
it's not so
it's
much.
It's so
to me,
well done, and I'm sure it'll be great. Like I'm not. I don't doubt that.
To me, it's not though the fact that it's Spielbergian, which it is, or the fact that it seems to recreate a film style of the 80s, which it does. To me, it's more that it seems to be the 80s. In a really cool way. In a way that's, it's not just a nostalgic thing. It's like a feel thing. It affects the way the story feels and unfolds. And I think the acting's phenomenal. And the, like, it's a period piece. And
I also don't like period pieces.
Well, but my extension of that is usually period piece means a period that was dumb and hundreds of years before
we
lived. And this is a period piece about a period you and I
lived through,
grew up in. And I find that part fascinating. And I also, I got to say, both Winona Ryder and what's the guy's name? Harbor, I want to say. Is it David Harbor? David Harbor? Daniel Harbor? Yeah, David Harbor. Who you will recognize. He's one of those guys. He's been in probably a bajillion Law and Orders. He was in Black Mass. He was in Walk Among the Tombstones. He was in, you know, he's one of those guys. And he's phenomenal as well. So I got to say, this
I'm not saying it won't be great.
I would fight that feeling.
I'm not saying I won't
just
love it.
Give the first episode a try sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm sure. In fact, I'm saying I probably will think it's great and I probably will love it, but I'm not excited about it.
No,
it feels,
I get
it
that.
Literally the feels calendar, like homework to me.
Yeah, the calendar is super full.
Yeah.
It's a super full calendar.
So, and there's this other pressure now that goes with this, right? Because there's so many things, you know.
And especially, by the way, just a quick add-on, the pressure is added for people like you and me that like to listen to and read pop culture commentary.
Right. And
is
both,
like
both
the commentary's coming and we don't have time to watch all the content before the commentary hits.
Right. And both you and I have completist streaks, right?
Yeah.
So once we start something, we tend to want to like just watch, see it out, right? So it's hard for us to get rid of shows once we started. And that's kind of what I mean, is it puts all of this pressure on the television you are watching to be good, essentially.
To stay good.
And like for your choices to be good. Like, for example, I don't know, maybe I think probably I've outed myself on this pod before, but I I enjoy the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah,
and
I happened to catch just by virtue of hanging out with the right or wrong person, depending on your viewpoint, happened to catch the season finale of The Bachelorette.
Well, you're hanging out for the right reasons.
So bad.
Yeah, the finale actually was pretty bad. But I, you know, that's and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with people don't finish things at the same time. Like one of the things I really enjoy about that franchise is that we're all watching it at the same time, and there's a really fantastic – the discussion around the show is 10 times more fun than actually watching the show.
Yeah, I mean these are the places that where Twitter is most effective and enjoyable now.
Yeah.
Live sports and The Bachelor.
It's great to have conversations and speculate and figure out the show. And like that's
and
the fun part of it for me.
Yeah, exactly. Mostly talk about how garbage everything is.
Yeah, and so you know, so now Bachelor in Paradise, which is the trashiest and probably the funnest version of the show, at least in the beginning, they're serving that up two nights a week. So it's 4 hours of show that I understand is not good. You know what I mean? So like, but I enjoy it. So, but now, you know, between that and Mr. Robot, and I'm still watching Roadies for, you know, and I'm in the Circus and Night of. And
is the Circus back already?
Circus is back. Yeah, it's been back for a few weeks, and it's been great.
Oh, geez.
No,
we're in a content avalanche.
Yeah.
And it's not to get snowed up.
And I got to find Stranger Things. And, I had made a decision that I was going to catch up on Kroll Show, and I really enjoyed that for a few episodes, and I want to watch some more of those. And I'm like, I just feel overwhelmed. And in a good way, it's this. I understand it's like the ultimate third world problem. Like there's too much interesting things to watch. But, man, there's so much pressure now, like, to find the right thing. Or, you know, when you hit that button on the remote, I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, you want to use that time wisely now.
Agreed. And I think also, I don't know if this happens to you, but it makes me all the more frustrated when someone or something recommends something to me that I then don't love.
Yeah.
It's like, especially if it's like, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a big secret that we both pay close attention to the sort of Ringer collective and some of the things they say about pop culture. And so when Andy Greenwald and Chris Ryan recommend a show or a movie or something, or even music, and I see or listen or whatever, and I'm like, really? This is the thing? It rankles me.
Yeah, I found myself getting really mad at Andy Greenwald lately.
Yeah,
it's not Andy. It's not your fault. I know it.
It was 45 minutes of watch time that I just wasted. So, yeah, no, I completely feel the same pressure. And especially I can tell you, as someone who took a couple of little vacations and fell behind on some things, like catching up has been almost impossible. Just last night alone to get ready for this show, I watched – 2 episodes of Roadies, 2 episodes of Vice Principals, an episode of The Night Up, like just to get caught up to a baseline, you know? I didn't get to last night's Mr. Robot. I'm 2 episodes behind on shows I enjoy but don't consider priorities, like Ray Donovan and Suits. It's an avalanche. It really is an avalanche.
That's part of what started this for me was actually like watching Roadies. And at the end, there's a trailer for the new Ray Donovan coming on. I'm like, man, are there people still hanging with Ray Donovan out there that are like really into what's happening right now?
I don't know if I'm really into it, but it's an enjoyable show.
I think there are, and I almost certainly think that there are people who are out there going, man, people watch Roadies?
Yeah, for sure there are.
Yeah.
So, although I gotta say, I enjoy Roadies.
I do too.
In fact, although I will also say, you said something to me as we planned for this in a brief conversation yesterday, that you thought the most recent episode was the best, and I'm interested to hear why.
Yeah, so look, we've talked about Roadies and how it's some of Cameron Crowe's best instincts and some of his worst instincts all sort of mashed in together, and I thought this last episode really spotlighted the way that he kind of handles romance deftly. And you had the the relationship between Carlo Gugino's character and –
is that how you say that? Gugino?
I don't know. That's what I'm rolling with.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I say it different every time.
You may be right. I'm not gonna hold you.
And I love her. I love her. And I still don't know how to say her name.
And Luke Wilson's character, and then the relationship between Reg and Janine and, Imogen
Kellyanne.
Poots. Kellyanne? Is that her name on the show? Yeah.
As I watch this show in general, mostly what I'm thinking is, God, I love Carla Gugino or Gugino. And then, like, 2 minutes later, oh, man, Imogen Poots is just great.
She is great.
Isn't Carla Gugino wonderful? And, Jesus, Imogen Poots is awesome in this part. And, like, back and forth between the two of them. Carla Gugino, I'm just so in the bag for. It's not even funny. Yeah. But Imogen Poots, this is my first extended experience with her. And she's wonderful.
She is wonderful. And I think the show's doing a good job of sketching out that relationship, in a way that is
unique. It's unique.
Yeah, it's unique, and it's sentimental, but not like it's not gooey and cheesy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I like the show. It's a good show.
Yeah, and I also thought, look, it can get a little bit sometimes like, oh, the power of music. You know what I mean?
But well, like, yes, yeah. But I believe in the power of music.
Yeah, and the scene I thought with Mellencamp teaching the kid guitar,
beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
And it had that element that I think happens in sort of not only the best comedies, but the best like slice of life, because that's what this ultimately is. It's a slice of this particular life, but it's sort of just a slice of life show.
Yeah.
And I think the best ones find that mark of this is a sort of a serious or explicitly beautiful moment, if you will. But we get that it's a little sappy, so there's a little bit of like humor and levity thrown in too. Yeah. Like that is something that Cameron Crowe does really well when he does well.
Right. And it's a bit of a high wire act, and it wouldn't shock me if the next episode lands really flat. Like it wouldn't. But when it's good, it's good. I'm enjoying it. There's almost always, even in the bad episodes, a couple of moments that are really good where they just nail it and you feel good.
And not only that, but just the music is great, man. When they threw on Maggot Brain in the middle of one of the episodes as like the song of the day, that was awesome.
Yeah, the music is kind of unquestionably great, I feel like. And you know what else is kind of underrated, I think, about Cameron Crowe's stuff is that he's clearly No one does a fictional band, I think, quite as well or realistically as Cameron Crowe does.
No way. That's it. That is a dude that has spent a lot of time seeing what the inner workings of a rock and roll band is like. And he has it nailed down to a T. He knows all the characters in that scene. He knows all the dynamics of a group of headstrong, ego-filled individuals interacting with each other. He does a great job. And by the way, the Marc Maron cameo was also pretty hilarious.
It was pretty good too. And look, people will tell you the show is bad, and I understand why they might say that. And I'm not going to sit here. It's not one where I would sit there and argue. But I think it's good. I think it's worth your time. And as watches go, it's pretty easy. So I'm gonna hang with Roadies.
I'm not sure I do understand people who say it's bad. I understand people who say it's not something that's important to me, and this isn't really a story I care about. But I don't really understand people who say it's bad. I think another consequence of peak TV is that if something has to be peak TV, there's this attitude among some people that a show has to be either very funny or very important. And Roadies is somewhere in between. It has funny moments. It has weighty moments. But mostly it's just a show with some heart about some people that you can enjoy and learn about and have fun with. And that's okay. Sometimes that's good. And I think when it's done well, which so far Roadies has been done pretty well, that is something to value. Because as everything can't be Mr. Robot and the Night of, where the scenes are dark and there's a bunch of crap to think about and it's really heavy. You know,
The Americans is another one of those. And I don't mind. You're right. Like, weighty is good. I like thinking about big picture things or important things or, you know, like, you know, going through these sort of dark tests of the human soul. But you know what? Like, there's a reason that I'm still watching Ballers. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm going to hang out in Miami and not ask too much of this show.
And that's what Roadies does for me is I'm going to hang out on the road with this band and not ask for too much.
Yeah. And you know, I think that peak TV puts the pressure on you to just pick the important things. And it's not that fun.
No, it should be more fun.
Not that I don't love important things, but it's not that fun.
I mean, we're doing a podcast called The Toy Department, for God's sakes. Yeah. Like, we need some levity occasionally.
Hang out and enjoy some toys. All right, is there anything else that we need to hit, or should we move to the homework section of the show?
Why do I feel like I'm missing something?
We're almost certainly forgetting something.
Yeah, I feel like did we write stuff? Oh, I know what it was. It's my movie. Commentary.
Oh yeah, you saw The Bourne Blank. What's the new Bourne?
Just called Jason Bourne.
Oh, just called Jason Bourne. Oh, I don't like that. It should be The Bourne something.
Well, okay.
The Bourne Cash Grab.
Let's put that aside for a second.
The Bourne Reunion.
Where are you at? Absent Jason Bourne, where are you at on the Bourne franchise?
Friendly, distant respect. Is that
yeah.
Like
was it ever more than that for you? Like, was there a point where you were like, these are great action movies?
It's been a long time since I've first and second one I kind of rode for, and then I don't even know. I think maybe I saw the third one. It's been and it's all been long enough that I if you're gonna ask me to delineate the plots, I would have a really hard time. And then once they once they made one without Damon, I was like, I kind of just turned it off in my brain.
You did not see it.
No, I didn't see it. I'm not saying it was bad. I just kind of was like, I'm done.
So here's what I would say: in the 2000s, there are very few action franchises that are neither a superhero movie, comedy, which action comedy is my genre of choice, really. So some of those I really do enjoy, but it's a very different thing. So almost all action movies in the last 15 years are superheroes, comedy, or terrible. for lack of a better word. And by terrible, I don't necessarily mean unfun or no good to watch, but just bad movies. Mm-hmm. Movies that either don't hold together with the plot or just have so little to them that they're not interesting intellectually at all. And they just blow stuff up, and it's a very rote, disappointing thing in a lot of ways. Like, if you just want to go to the theater and watch stuff blow up, fine, but it's been very hard to find a pretty good movie that is also an action movie. Yep. I think Mission Impossible is maybe the second best franchise when it comes to this thing. And there have been the occasional exception, like I think Taken 1 was a really good action movie, and then the next couple were pretty rough. But Bourne, the first two I thought were pretty excellent. I mean, some of the better action movies of the last 15 years. The third one was pretty darn good. And the fourth one, while there's a clear departure without Damon that doesn't totally make sense, the movie itself was pretty good. An action movie that held together and was, you know, as action movies go, pretty smart.
Was Renner was the Damon role?
Renner was the guy, yeah.
And Renner's great.
And he's great. And so is Matt Damon most of the time. And so there was this whole storyline around this movie of, oh, well, it's Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass are back. They did 2 and 3, and, you know, they're restoring the franchise. And, like, when I go to the theater to see a Jason Bourne movie, I'm excited about seeing a movie that it has action and also an interesting plot that holds together and sucks me in.
And you didn't get that, I'm guessing, at least from the reviews I've seen.
I sure didn't. It was bad, and it was just so disappointing to have – like, honestly, if they had gone for something big and high concept and blown it, I would have left the theater feeling so much better than I did. Instead, they made the same – I mean, it could have been called Olympus Has Fallen practically.
Ooh.
It was just a trash action movie that wasn't smart, that didn't hold together, that had very little meaningful plot, where people did stuff that didn't make any sense to me. Like, I just, it was so disappointing. And I walked out of that theater feeling like, all right, well, I guess the only worthwhile action movies now are superhero movies.
Yeah, you know, I think I had an epiphany during this conversation. You know, I've long been on the corner of I'm tired of superhero movies. And I think that maybe it's not superhero movies for me. And maybe it's just the franchise. I guess franchisation is not a word. But the franchise obsession of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Like just five of anything. Just it's not that exciting to me. It just feels like a copy of a copy of a copy. And I think with these superhero movies, you know that they're sort of designed as vehicles to pump more franchise into you. Or, you know, even if they're kind of unrelated, they all feel like one just part of a giant, you know, it's a franchise DC or franchise Marvel.
Right.
And it just, like, I think that in and of itself is a real turnoff for me, and it's really hard to separate out any of these superhero movies from that. And in the same way, it's really hard to separate out any of these action movies from that. And I do wish that there were more people trying to come up with the next Taken. Or like, you know, I enjoy a good action movie. You know what I mean? Like, I would love for someone to make a new Matrix. And I don't mean another Matrix movie. I mean a movie that blew my mind like the Matrix did. Because that's how thrilling it is, you know, when you hit a new level with these action movies.
I totally agree with that about the Matrix and Taken. And you know, that gets at Hollywood's biggest problem, which is something we could discuss any time, but it's probably not worth it because everybody understands, I think, for the most part. Hollywood is terrified of risk to the point that they actually do things that are riskier and less effective because of their terror of risk. So, like, there's this idea of, oh, well, we can revive that and reboot that because we know that has an audience. What that theory ignores is most of the time the thing had the audience because it was good, not because it was born, not because it was you know, it happened to be called Tarzan, but because it was good.
Yeah.
And if you make good things, people will watch and enjoy them.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand there's a lot of stupid people who like stupid stuff as well, but stupid people mostly also like good stuff.
Well, look,
you know what I mean? Like, the good stuff that's not too difficult also appeals to the masses. So this idea that, well, we can eventually make one good thing, but we got to make six things that appeal to the masses first, and we already know, you know, the story of Tarzan or the comic books. We know those engage the people, so let's just keep doing that again and again and again. It's the wrong interpretation of the data.
Well, look, there's a real financial pressure towards intellectual property or towards IP, right?
Right.
You have two things going on. One, there's just, you know, like we talked about with television, there's just so much culture and media out there that you want things that sort of instantly cut through the clutter to get people to go, I want to see that, right?
Yep.
So you have that pressure. Two, you know, most of these movies are made and now funded based on the international market. And
yeah,
so, right. So you also want things that are going to appeal on this kind of international level. It's much harder for original stories to do that. And so, yeah.
Well, but do we even know that? See, because this is the thing. Like, we say stuff like that, and Hollywood certainly believes that. But, like, I just feel
like
look,
whether it's true
so
or not, what's important is that Hollywood believes it. And so that's what we're getting. We're just going to get more and more of these. And I realize I'm swimming against the tide. And what I fear that it means is – and this is the way it's played out for me. You know, it feels like a function of time. But maybe it's a function of this. I'm just going to see less movies. I'm going to see four movies this year maybe.
Unfortunately, I am in a similar boat. I'm seeing less movies, but I love the movies. I love the theater. Yeah. I'm sad about that. And I'm glad that there's all this great TV that's taking up my time and my video usage, but I love the theater. I love the movies. In part, I love new TV because it's movie-esque, you know? It's as much like the movies of my childhood and young adulthood as the movies are, it seems like. And so to see this happen to movies is disappointing to me and upsetting. And especially when you've got a franchise in Bourne where people have come to expect and enjoy at least a slightly elevated sort of action film, and then you turn it into the same crap you're putting out 10 times a year with Gerard Butler in it, I just don't understand. I don't understand that.
I find it upsetting.
And I wouldn't even say I had high expectations, but I had a certain level of expectations for Bourne, and it so flailed and failed to meet them. I really was upset by it.
So does this mean I shouldn't assign the collective works of Gerard Butler in Homer this week?
Well, but see, you know what? It's funny. I don't mean to down Gerard Butler because
no, you should. Most things that Gerard Butler has been in are terrible. Almost all.
Yeah,
of them.
But you know what? They're a terrible that like I can throw on Olympus Has Fallen and stuff will explode and I can like probably get some work done at the same time and I'm fine with that and that's what that is. But I really hoped Jason Bourne would be more than that.
I don't necessarily think he's a bad actor, but I'm
positive
he has a terrible agent.
Well, or he just says yes to whatever action movie asks him.
I guess.
Because the cash is good, bro.
Yeah.
The cash will spend.
All right. I got to get out of here. They got to get out of here. So you got any homework we want to give people?
Well, my homework to you is at least one episode of Stranger Things.
All right. I can do at least one episode of Stranger Things.
I want you to squeeze in one episode, and I hate to tell you, but I'm confident that one episode will lead to more episodes.
I just got to force myself to do it, but it's going to be hard because I'm going to be on the road.
I don't know where you're at on Winona Ryder, but she's excellent.
I've heard that. I've heard that. And, you know, I'm going to be on the road and then I'm going to come home and I want to catch up on Night Of and, you know, all that stuff. And
That's the other homework is, you know, find me at Outside Lands.
Yeah. And we'll try to do some sort of at least some sort of message that maybe we can play on the pod next week. And
yeah.
I'm sure it will be hilariously terrible. So thank you for putting up with it.
I don't think we've seen each other since we started the toy department.
That is true. I believe. Yeah.
So it's a big moment.
All right. Thank you for listening. You want to give the email address again?
ToyDepartmentPod@gmail.com.
Please. ToyDepartmentPod@gmail.com. Please tell somebody if you like the show.
Just, yeah, tell somebody. Tell us if you want. I don't mind that.
You know, if you're listening to us in the podcast app, you know, take that little share thing and just email somebody an episode.
Tweet it out. Tell your friends.
Something like that. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.